5 o'clock hour live from the Auction Community Studios. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, Cardinals preseason game number two, which Cliff Kingsbury earlier today, and I was seeing some of the tweets come down from his press conference. Kingsbury says he does not see the third preseason game as being the main game for the Cardinals now that there's only three preseason games, which kind of makes it sound like if there is going to be a main preseason game, it's going to be this one coming up on Friday. It's going to be number. Now, what does that mean? I don't know.
It means that you've gone, you know, based on what you've said, it's 23 days without. If you play in this game, the second game, but don't play in the third, by the time the opener comes, you'll have gone 23 games without playing in a football game.
Yeah.
Plenty of practices,
yep.
But you're not going to have any game. You're not going to have game action for 23 days.
All this time, we had wondered how Cliff was going to play it. Is he going to use, you know, with only three preseason games, is preseason game number three the full-on dress rehearsal, or is it number two? Is preseason game number three like preseason game number four where nobody plays and you're just trying to get it over with? Or do you use that one? And what Cliff said today basically sounded like if there's to be a dress rehearsal, it's this one coming up on Friday, and that he doesn't see preseason game number three, the final one, as the main preseason game. It's interesting because it's going to be Patrick Mahomes and it's Kansas City, and obviously Cliff and Mahomes have a relationship dating back to Texas Tech. And Cliff said today, while it's a great model to follow if you can with what happened to Mahomes in Kansas City, not everybody can.
They're a great model to follow with the success they've had. And this situation is completely different for Kyler. I mean, he came into the last place team. You know, they were a team that I think they had the 27th pick and traded up. So it was a playoff team that he was able to go into, learn for a year, and then, you know, take over. And he's been unbelievable ever since. But this deal was for K1 was starting at the bottom. And he's, you know, had to work these last 2 years to try and get better and better. And hopefully, you know, like I said earlier, hopefully this is the best we've been. And we'll see how it plays out.
It's interesting. It's almost it's like he's making it sound like it was easier for Patrick Mahomes to do what he did with Kansas City than it is for Kyler.
It was easier.
It was.
He was on a good team, and he sat for a year, and he learned. Now, there are people, I think Kurt Warner's an advocate, like, you got to play. The only way you're going to get better is to play. So some people believe that. There's got to be stuff that you can learn, like, a year later. Okay, because, all right. So now, by the time you play, you've gone through two camps instead of one. That's got to be a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Two camps instead of one, that's a benefit. You'll have played. You'll have gone through all those practices, two off-seasons, off-season workouts, by the time you play, if you sit for the first year. You don't get your brains beat in. You get a year to mature more physically. You get a year to mature, get stronger. And, you know, when you come out of college, you should be stronger and better a year later than in your first year. You should be, just physically.
Yeah.
So I think there are advantages to it. You can make the argument, like Kurt would, like, okay, the only way you're going to get better is you got to play. Okay, I understand that, but I do think that there is a benefit to not playing. And I think that Patrick Mahomes, look, situations matters too. Like, Josh Rosen just got cut again today, right? The guy's been in terrible situations.
Terrible situations.
He's been like, you couldn't have picked worse situations. Would things have been different if Josh Rosen was drafted by the Bills? Maybe. I mean, maybe.
Or
we'll
Patriots?
Never know.
Maybe. I mean,
what if the Bills drafted Josh Rosen instead of Josh Allen? What if they drafted Josh Rosen? Would he still be on the Bills?
He might be.
Would they have traded him a year later?
We don't know. We have no idea. It's impossible to tell.
No, but it's possible that it's the situation is what has kind of doomed him.
Yeah, situation. And look, I don't think Cliff was trying to. I know he wasn't. I know he wasn't trying to knock Patrick Mahomes. But I think he was just pointing out the obvious. Patrick Mahomes walked into a really good situation.
Sure.
A team that was in the 20s drafting, who moved up to get him, who already had a very established, very good quarterback who was going to win a lot of football games for him, and Alex Smith. And it gave them the luxury of being able to sit Patrick Mahomes and let him learn. The Cardinals did not have that luxury. They were a 3-win football team when they drafted Kyler Murray number one overall. And there was nobody else on the roster even remotely close to ready to play. It wasn't even like the situation. The Cardinals tried to do it the way you like it when they drafted Josh Rosen. Sam Bradford was their starter for the first month, month and a half of the season.
I only think it lasted like 3 games.
I think you might be right now that I think about
it. I think it lasted 3 games.
And it was just like, yep, nope, pull the plug on this. Get out of it. We got to start playing. We're going to be bad. Play the kid. Play the kid as much as you possibly can. Let's see if you can get that experience under his belt. It's different for everybody. Every situation is different. But he's obviously rooting very much for Patrick Mahomes to do well. As far as how he game plans for quarterbacks in the preseason, here's what Cliff said.
Most of us want to be pretty vanilla. You're not trying to show your hand for the season because these games don't. They don't count. I mean, they're meaningful to the players trying to make teams and our evaluations and getting ready to play, but they don't count ultimately. So there's that fine line you walk. I know most of the guys I know that are coaches, if their starters are going to play, they're going to try to get the ball out of their hands quick, give them quick, easy reads, screens, different things to make sure that, you know, they can get in, get some good work, and get out unscathed.
He even jokingly blamed his buddy Sean McVay for starting this trend of resting starters in preseason games.
I blame McVay. So, no, he's got a great philosophy, and it's worked extremely well there. And I know, you know, talking to guys from his team, they do appreciate it. And so it's definitely started a trend.
I think that, okay, McVay is steadfast. I know what I'm going to do. My starters aren't going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's the only coach that has it like that, knows exactly. I think this is new. It's 3 instead of 4. There is a long delay if you don't play in week 3 that you'd have. Like, I think everybody's kind of going to go through this year. Okay, I have a better understanding. I got to go through it. Now, McVay already, I know what I'm doing. None of my starters are playing.
Yeah.
I think other guys are, I'm going to kind of take it week by week, and we're going to see, and we're going to evaluate. Did you have a good practice week? Did you not have a good practice week? So I don't know that everybody is on the same page as far as I know what I'm going to do. I think that this year is almost a trial and error year for some of these coaches and how to do it.
You might be right. We'll see how many of these starters end up playing on Friday for the Cardinals. Like I say, if ever there was the game to be the dress rehearsal game, Cliff sort of intimated today that it would be this one and not that preseason finale in a week and a half. One last note real quick. Cliff Kingsbury was asked about all this missed time for Andy Isabella and whether it hurts him or not, and he suggested that it does a little bit.
We're going to see how it all plays out, but it definitely doesn't help the development. Didn't have a preseason last year. We would have liked him to you know, get to play in these games that unfortunately hasn't been able to, but Kyler said him. He's very smart, knows the system inside out, can play inside, can play outside. And so as far as understanding what we're trying to accomplish, he won't miss much.
It is interesting, though. According to Tom Pelissero, the Arizona Cardinals did bring in former TCU wide receiver and former first-round pick Josh Doctson in for a workout today, or a tryout, whatever you want to call it.
All right, so let's talk about him for a second. He is a very talented player. He's been a career underachiever, and they're kicking the tires on him. This has nothing to do with Andy Isabella, and I'm going to tell you why. Doctson is a longer X or Z type wide receiver, more like a DeAndre Hopkins or an A.J. Green. He's a longer guy that's going to play the X or the Z. Just trying to stay a step ahead, bring a guy in, take a look. So, you know, they'll take a look and see if he's a guy, you know, that could help them. But this is a guy that they think is underachieved, and there's a lot of talent there, so they'll take a long look at him.
When we come back, he is a former top 10 pick that is now going to be entering his second year in the league. Did Jalen Smith show enough during the summer league to earn more of a role with the Suns? That is coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Jordan just sent this along to me, a message in our team's chat during the show. Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports reporting, the Lakers are in search of depth. They have worked out Isaiah Thomas, Darren Collison, and Mike James for potential roster spot with Isaiah Thomas apparently just concluded a workout personally with LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. Somebody on Twitter responded, they will pick whichever player of those three is the oldest. That's probably what the Lakers. And then at the bottom of the story, sources, Lakers worked out Isaiah Thomas, Darren Collison, and Mike James. Jared Dudley's 2-year tenure with the organization will likely come to an end.
It has come to an end.
Oh, it has come to an end.
Okay. I talked to him. I talked to him a couple days ago, and then I talked to him this morning. We texted back and forth a couple days ago, and then this morning we talked. We talked for a little while, and You know, I think he wanted to come back for one more season, his 15th season in the NBA, and you know he's very close with LeBron and AD. He's close with those guys, but I think that Pelinka just wanted to go in a different direction with that roster spot. So now we'll see. I mean, there's not many open roster spots available. Minnesota's got one. Phoenix has one. So it could end up being a coaching career for Jared Dudley. He may end up transitioning from player to coach, assistant coach.
Would probably be pretty good at that.
I think he'd be great at it.
Eventually.
I think he'd be great. I know he wanted to play his 15th season. He wanted to get that 15th season in. And hey, the money's not bad when you take the vet's minimum for $2.8 million. It's not bad.
It's not at all.
But I know he's got that place in L.A. and he just renewed the lease. I think he believed he was going to come back.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't happen the way they never asked us.
So the Lakers are trying to figure out what they're going to do, and certainly moves that you know Jordan and I were just talking a second ago in the break room. It's not going to scare anybody if you're a Phoenix Suns fan. The Suns still have some issues to work through themselves, and they still have a couple of months to do so. The one big burning issue that remains on the front burner, if you will, for the Suns is their backup power forward and whether Jalen Smith is going to be that guy. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier. There was a Sports Illustrated story on some of their takeaways from the summer league, and it was a less than flattering write-up of Jalen Smith and how he played, and it continued to express doubt about whether he can be the kind of player the Suns need him to be. They're not trying to make him as a backup center. They never were. They were always trying to make him to be more of a power forward type player, a new type of power forward type player in this league. And if that's their goal, at least count this writer from Sports Illustrated among those who were kind of unimpressed with the work that he did in Vegas. Like, I'm just not sure whether the guy's going to get there or not. And if he can't, that leaves a big question mark for the Suns moving forward, because that is a role they need to fill at some point this offseason.
Yeah, he didn't play in that fifth game. And the reason why is that he had been a little banged up, a little bit sore, and they just decided, okay, We got four games out of him. We didn't need to see a fifth. He got heavy minutes, but he was a little bit sore, a little banged up. It was a consolation game. We've seen enough in the four games. It had nothing to do with a trade being imminent. Nothing to do with, and people speculated, and I understand that, because, he's not playing. Maybe they're trading him. It had nothing to do with that. What happens is, I think he played in those four games, and I don't know if he impressed enough to show the Suns organization, hey, I'm the guy. You don't need to fill that other roster spot. Or maybe even show another team, trade for me. Trade for me because I am worth it. When I was looking at a couple of lists today of summer league standouts, he wasn't on the list.
No.
He didn't play poorly.
No.
He didn't play great. He was okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. You know, he was okay. I mean, you don't look at it and say, oh, he's terrible. He can't. But you still, like, he's not beating anybody out that's on this Suns team right now. Your starting forward is Jay Crowder, and your backup forward may very well be Cam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's not beating out Cam Johnson for play-in time. So now you'll go into your second year, and I just don't know if he's going to get to play again, play anymore. So I don't think he did enough to really warrant playing time with the Suns. I'm not sure he did enough to show another team that, hey, I'm worth trading for.
Yeah, the hope was that one of those two things were going to happen, especially on the trade front and there had been so much speculation maybe about using Jalen Smith and Dario Saric's contract to kind of as the bait at the end of the hook to dangle in front of another team to see if maybe they would make a deal and that you could find your backup power for that. And you're right about Cameron Johnson, and this is not a thing to be concerned about or worried about. The Suns went all last season without a true backup big man, and it really only burned them in the NBA Finals. But it did burn them in the NBA Finals. And at some point, to be a more complete team going into what we hope will be another run for the Finals, I do think they need a backup power forward who is more similar to Jay Crowder than Mikal Bridges, right? Who's got that physicality is part of their resume. They're going to need a guy like that. If it's not going to be Jalen Smith, and if it's not going to be Paul Millsap in free agency, if it's not going to be Thaddeus Young in a trade, they're going to need to find at some point, now, the offseason, the trade deadline, somebody who can fill that role, because I do think that's going to be a soft spot for them going into the postseason next year.
I think a lot of those guys that we've talked about, I think, are unlikely. I don't want to rule anything out, right? Because it's, you know, you still got time here, you know, before they have to do anything. And they might not do anything with that roster spot. I know they like the flexibility and having the options available that, you know what, if there's a buyout, if a player gets bought out, you could then you know, offer that player more money than somebody else can, because you've got your mid-level available. You could offer more years to that player if you want to give him a two-year deal instead of just a one-year deal. You could do that with the biannual. So you have options if you keep that roster spot open. That's something that they will, you know, that they will look at. You could also do a two-for-one trade. You could do a two-for-one trade. A team says, hey, I want to trade you this power forward, and you got to trade, you know, you. And, but they want, say they want Jalen Smith, but you also need to make money work. So a two-for-one trade, if you've got to take back two guys, if you've got to take back two guys to give away one, you're in a good position there to do that because you have an open roster spot. So there are options available if they don't do anything with that. I think they'll probably stand pat for now and just continue to just monitor the market and see if something pops up. It's very likely they might not get that power forward in the beginning of the season. It might be something that they get in December. It might be something they get, you know, later on at the buyout time. It might not come right away.
And it might not have to come right away. And if it's, I think it's fine if it doesn't, because it's not a glaring need for this team right now. I think it's the one last thing they have to address. I'm still hoping that those guys that you're unwilling to completely rule out, that whatever their price tags are, maybe it comes down a little
bit. Sure.
That they're going to find that the market for their services just isn't as robust as they thought. And I'm speaking specifically about Paul Millsap here, that a Paul Millsap might take a look around and say, okay, nobody is giving me the financial offer that I want. The best opportunity for me is in Phoenix. The best opportunity for me is here or there. And hopefully something like that comes to pass, because the closer we get to the season, the more the price tags are going to go down, right? I mean, if you haven't made that money yet as a free agency in the NBA, chances are you're not going to.
That
boat is kind of sailed at this point.
Yeah, there aren't many roster spots open. I mean, you're just, and listen, I like Larry Markkanen, people have asked me about him, not happening. Whatever player they would add will be a defensive-minded player. So if you're looking at any player and he's just an offensive guy, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So like a Larry Markkanen has, I would say there's zero chance that it would be Larry Markkanen.
And I would agree with that philosophy wholeheartedly. When we come back, we've got another match coming up for our Giveathon benefiting the Phoenix Children's Hospital, plus an updated look at the tote board. That's next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Giveathon on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Giveathon week here on the Burns and Gambo Show in 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station and News Talk 92.3 KTAR 92.3 FM. The Desert Financial Phone Bank is open for you at 602-933-4567. 602-933-4567. Every single year, these two radio stations, we gather together, even though we're not in the same room. We gather together and talk about this wonderful gift we have here in our community that is Phoenix Children's Hospital. I've never had to use it. My kids have never had to go there. I've had friends, family members. Your degrees of separation of knowing somebody who's needed Phoenix Children's Hospital is probably not very great. There are probably a lot of people you know in your circle where you've had to go to Phoenix Children's Hospital because your kid has had that moment. What an incredible gift to know that we've got it here in our backyard, one of the best children's hospitals in the world. In case something happens, it's amazing to know it's right down the street.
Yeah, you don't want to take it for granted, so you want to support it. I mean, you want to build it up. You want it to continue to be, you know, one of the best in the world. A lot of people, you take pride in it, right? Everybody takes pride in Phoenix Children's Hospital. It's expensive. It costs about $2.7 million a day, as we've referenced a few times. But they don't turn any children away. Don't turn any families away. And they deal with kids with cancer, kids with heart issues, kids with brain injuries coming in and dealing with that. Is just, you got to have the best doctors. You got to have the best nurses. You have to have the best equipment. You've got to have the best hospital.
Yep.
And that's why we do this, to make sure that this will continue to be one of the best hospitals in the entire world.
So many parents go in there looking to get help for their kids, and so many parents walk out of there and are just amazed at the miracles they perform every single day at Phoenix Children's Hospital, which is why we thank you for getting involved. We have a lot of people we want to thank. We're going to do a tote board update. We've also got another check presentation for Phoenix Children's Hospital. This one, courtesy of Ace Hardware.
Hi, my name's Julie.
And I'm Tricia.
And we're with Ace Hardware, and we are so happy to be part of this year's Giveathon.
We've been a proud partner of Phoenix Children's for 30 years now.
Thanks to our amazing customers for making donations at our registers. With their help, we're able to present this check for $20,000.
We encourage the community to call the phones bank at 602-933-4567 to support this year's Giveathon.
On behalf of Ace Hardware, thank you, Phoenix Children's, for being there for our community to provide hope, strength, and to change kids' health to change the future.
Wow. $20,000 from
Ace.
That's
fantastic.
Love
Ace Hardware. I mean, I was in there this weekend getting some salt for the machine and some filters for the AC unit. I love Ace Hardware.
We appreciate them. We appreciate that donation. We appreciate you listening right now when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank at 602-933-4567. And it's stories like this, the reason why we appreciate it. Story about Izzy. After a life-threatening liver condition required surgery for their two-month-old daughter, Stephen and Carol thought they were on their way to routine family life with their firstborn. After their little girl suffered a stroke, their family life became anything but routine, and the doctors, nurses, and staff at Phoenix Children's exhausted their resources and knowledge trying to save her. This is a story of joy inside tears and a rainbow from behind a dark cloud. This is Izzy's story.
I'm Steven Simpson.
And I'm Carol Simpson.
And this is Izzy's story. I can't remember who was the first one to call her Izzy, myself or mom. Izzy just always stuck.
We went to a routine two-month checkup with her pediatrician, and during the checkup, she noticed that she was a bit jaundiced. 3 days later, we were in surgery with her.
And the surgeon came out and told us, he says, she does have biliary atresia.
Basically, it's your bile ducts, some point between when she was born to about 2 months, they close up, creating like a liver cirrhosis.
The surgery was a success.
You couldn't tell anything was wrong with her other than her scar and her taking her meds in the morning and at night.
You know, we thought we had jumped over a big hurdle. And we did. She was doing fantastic. Time goes by. It was February 12th. We were outside in our backyard, and Isabella let out a horrifying scream. And mom's instincts kind of took over and said that scream just didn't sound right. And as soon as we got to PCH, they took her back to give her a CAT scan, and they told us that she had had a stroke. So we're back to square one. First child, 3 or 4 or 5 different machines hooked up to her.
There was pretty much nothing that you could do at that point.
That's where we were at. There was nothing that we could do except to be with her until the end. And you know, I mean, they did everything they could for her, and we know that. And, I mean, when they told us there was nothing else they could do, as hard as it was for us to accept, I think we knew that we had to let her go. She was our first, and actually we're really excited and happy. We actually have an 11-week-old son at home.
Steven, you know, he looks so much like his sister already. You can tell they're siblings. And they always say after you lose a child, to have another child, it's the rainbow baby, and it definitely is. We say that he was handpicked by her in heaven, so it's helped me smile again.
Oh, my God.
Hard stories to hear.
God, it's just
hard stories to hear.
I this year, I mean, this year we've had so many of these children that that didn't make it. And there is no greater pain in the world than burying your own child. There is no greater pain. I mean, there is nothing that can happen to a person that could be of more pain than having to bury your own child. I mean, I didn't have to do it, but my parents did. When my parents buried my sister Denise, when she died when she was two, I think I was five or six at the time, and it's just all these years later, it's always affected my parents. You never get over it,
right.
And just hearing this story about Izzy, it's just, boy, it's hard. It's hard.
It is hard, and Phoenix Children's Hospital is doing the hard work when it comes to kids like Izzy and parents like Stephen and Carol, and that's why stories like this resonate so much, because these are the cases that they're dealing with on a daily basis at Phoenix Children's Hospital, which is why we do Giveathon, which is why we do Giveathon Week, and which is why we encourage you to call in right now at 602-933-4567. We've got a match going on right now, the In-Group Hospitality Staybridge Suites match. It's going on right now as we speak, so if you call up and donate, if you become a Champion of Hope, $20 or more per month, that makes you a Champion of Hope. That gets a teddy bear in your name delivered to a kid at the hospital right now. Your donation will be matched by In-Group Hospitality Staybridge Suites. It's a match up to $5,000. That's going on right now at 602-933-4567. 602-933-4567. We've had great champions of hope. Perry in Peoria has become a champion of hope. Stephen in Scottsdale. Hope. MJ from Glendale has donated $1,000.
There you go, MJ.
To Phoenix Children's Hospital. So, man, the donations keep coming in. The match is a great time for you to call right now. And again, your number, the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567. That's 602-933-4567 in this Giveathon week for Phoenix Children's, presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. You ready for a tote board?
I am ready to get the tote board update. And again, thank you to everybody for donating.
Tonight's final tote for the evening, $536,556. $536,000.
There we go.
Raised so far for Phoenix Children's Hospital. And the best part of you becoming a Champion of Hope, the Train Teddy Bear Express. Every time you decide to be a Champion of Hope,
we send it up.
Fire up the Train Teddy Bear Express. We send it upstairs at Phoenix Children's Hospital. Volunteers are standing by there now so that when you call up and become a Champion of Hope, a teddy bear goes up in your name. So, wonderful opportunity to get you involved. And for anybody who has been involved, thank you so much for getting us to that $536,000 number. We really appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. And, you know, I continue to donate. You know, Izzy's story was just very touching. And you could donate by calling 602-933-4567 during Giveathon Week. You can call right now. The Desert Financial Phone Bank number is 602-933-4567.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, the Phoenix Suns got some good news today and a measure of respect paid to them by the league. We'll tell you how that respect showed itself next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's time for the Vizzy Hard Seltzer. What's on tonight? Brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsors of your Arizona Diamondbacks. They're on tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Phillies, I should say. That game starts at 6:40. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll preview that matchup in just a moment. The Mercury are also in action tonight, taking on the Fever. That game tips off at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, the Phoenix Suns, they're not on anytime soon. But if you're a Suns fan and you are looking for a measure of respect from the NBA, you got it today.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
And well, the Suns found out what it meant to them, sure, because there are only 10 teams who get to play on Christmas Day, and the Phoenix Suns are one of the 10. They'll take on the Golden State Warriors Christmas Day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which makes for a uniquely busy Christmas Day sports-wise around here. 3 o'clock Suns Warriors at the Footprint Center. 6:15 kickoff between the Cardinals and the Colts at State Farm Stadium, all on Christmas Day. And as Jordan so astutely pointed out, if you're a season ticket holder for the Cardinals, what a great opportunity for you to tailgate outside of State Farm Stadium, watch the Suns game, and basically as
all
soon as it ends,
go into the building,
right into the building, and watch the Cardinals game on Christmas Day.
I like the Warriors matchup because the Warriors have been a little bit out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
Okay. You just the Lakers fresh in your memory. You played them in the playoffs. The Nuggets fresh in your memory. You played Utah. All those battles for who's going to be the number one or number two seed. The Golden State Warriors have kind of been a little out of sight, out of mind. Like they didn't make the playoffs this year. They had the play-in game against the Lakers, and they almost beat the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
They probably should have beat the Lakers. And then they lost that game, and then they had to play Memphis, and they lost to Memphis. So they lost the two games, and they didn't get to be in. So you haven't really focused much on the Warriors. They haven't had Klay Thompson. They've just kind of been there. So I like the matchup against Golden State because a lot of people feel like Golden State's going to be back this year. They'll be back. I just do question the – you know, I do question that team. They got a couple of young studs, but they are an older team with Draymond and Klay. And Klay hasn't played in 2 years, and then Steph's getting up there in age. So, but I like that matchup against Golden State.
Last time the Suns played on Christmas Day was 2009 when they beat the LA Clippers. The other Christmas Day matchups, the Lakers taking on the Nets, the Knicks taking on the Hawks, the Celtics against the NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. And then the nightcap is Luka and the Mavs taking on the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City. So the Suns not only got that measure of respect, two of their games during the opening week of the NBA season are going to be nationally televised as well. The home opener against the Nuggets on October 20th, and then 2 days later when they visit the LA Lakers, both of those games will be on ESPN. These are the things when you get to the NBA Finals, when you have stars on your team like Devin Booker and Chris Paul, you expect that the league is going to give you moments like this. It was nice to see the league give the Suns moments like this. They deserved a spot on Christmas Day.
Well,
it would have been very disappointing if they hadn't gotten this.
Yeah, you would have felt that they got disrespected. But they've done everything to earn this. Like, they earned that. They made it to the NBA Finals. They took down the Lakers and the Clippers and the Nuggets, and they won two games against Milwaukee. And they got a rising star in Devin Booker who just won an Olympic gold medal. And they've got Chris Paul. They've got DeAndre Ayton. And they got Monty Williams. So they earned the right to be one of those games on Christmas Day.
Absolutely, they did. So that, and by the way, the rest of the nationally televised schedule is going to be released on Friday. So I'm sure there'll be many, many more nationally televised broadcasts for the Suns coming up then. So I mentioned we got Diamondbacks baseball coming up next. Let's preview that matchup for you.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Crave Cheeseburger for a limited time only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Diamondbacks taking on the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. The return of Archie Bradley. He is back. I saw a picture that was tweeted out by Bally Sports Arizona. Jody Jackson interviewing Archie pregame. Good to see him back in the building.
That's what he said to me. I messaged him. He goes, man, it is good to be back. He is happy to be back in Arizona.
I don't doubt it at all. The pitching matchup tonight brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives for the Philadelphia Phillies. Kyle Gibson gets the start. 8-4, 3.12 ERA. Taylor Widener gets the start for the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. The righty is 1-1 with a 4.89 ERA.
Yeah, Gibson was actually traded to Phillies from the Texas Rangers. He gave up 6 earned runs and 4 1/3 out of the bullpen in his last appearance, but he had won each of his 2 starts since he got traded to Philadelphia. So he's got it. He's going to make his 22nd start of the year, and it'll be his 3rd start with the Phillies since he got traded from the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, Archie Bradley, we mentioned his return tonight.
He's having a great year.
7-1 on the season. He's got a 2.70 ERA. He's appeared in 38 games. He's got 2 saves. That's not really his job on this team. He is having a tremendous year so far, though, with just everything he's put together for the team.
I was looking at Robbie Ray today. What a great year he's having. Dansby Swanson, what a great year he's having. There are quite a few, you know, ex-Diamondbacks that are having great years.
Yep, and of course the Diamondbacks themselves, winners of 3 of 4 against the San Diego Padres.
San Diego,
really well.
Great series against the Padres. And you know, we had Torey Lovello on earlier, and he mentioned that, you know, that was a good series for them, and mentioned they're not looking at the standings. They're trying to win games and play spoiler, and you know, just trying to go out there and win baseball games, not worried about the first pick in the draft next year.
No, and along those lines, the MLB standings brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. If you look at the division standings, obviously the Arizona Diamondbacks well back off of the pace from the lead. San Francisco 77-42. The Dodgers 4 games off of the lead there. The Padres now 11 games back. But if you look at the overall standings in Major League Baseball, you mentioned it a second ago. The Baltimore Orioles now only 1 game better than the Arizona Diamondbacks record at the very bottom. Diamondbacks was like 5 games about a week and a half ago.
I think the Orioles have lost 12 in a row.
They have.
And they are not winning any baseball games. And there's a lot of people that are like, I'd rather the Diamondbacks lose, but the Diamondbacks are playing better baseball than the Orioles right now. This will be a topic for tomorrow. I really want to discuss what Torey Lovello said today. I really do. I want to get into that a little bit and just get people's feelings on it, what Lovello said to us earlier. But, yeah, the Orioles are not winning any baseball games, and now all of a sudden the Diamondbacks might lose this position as the worst team in baseball.
Let's get you a key to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to sell2sands.com today.
What you got, Keymaster?
A couple years ago in 2019, JT Realmuto threw out 47% of the base runners trying to steal off of him. Remarkable. I mean, that's unbelievable. Last couple of years, he's only thrown out 14 runners. You know the reason why? Nobody's trying to steal off of JT Realmuto. So that is the key to the game. This is one of the better catches in the game and throwing out runners. Don't try to run on JT Realmuto.
D-backs baseball is next. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.